Neve Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neve's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neve Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Welcome to The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia Elcoury.
And I'm Shirley Heyman. Welcome. So we're really excited. We're in our new studio up high in St Albans, looking over all of the city on a beautiful sunny night. And that's great, really, isn't it, Lydia? It's particularly because we're talking about outside, aren't we, tonight?
That's it. And you do feel like going out for a little bit of a walk when you look at this beautiful view, isn't it? But yeah, outdoor. When we're talking about outside, we mean what to do with our children in terms of outdoor learning.
Yeah, so that's going to be the main thrust of tonight's show. We're going to talk about outdoor learning for families. We've got some guests with us. We've got some in the studio and some on the phone tonight. We're going to be talking to ladies who have made outdoor learning their kind of job, their passion, their career. And we've got Caroline in the studio tonight, who is from Down the Woods, which is a local company based in Sandridge. And we're going to talk to her in a while. And she's got some thoughts and ideas and experiences. And hopefully she's going to inspire us to want to get our families outside.
I'd love to know from you, Shirley, what you understand by outdoor learning, because I mean, you've got great experiences. You've got two hats. You've got the early years expert and you're a parent.
I think, Lydia, outdoor learning for me, you know, as a teacher, is about children doing literacy and numeracy and stuff outside, and of course physical skills, you know, learning to run and jump and all that kind of thing. So I don't really understand how you can take it any further, particularly with the family. The only example I could think of was like me walking my dog, so I'm, you know, having conversations with my teenager and getting fitter, building stamina because we're walking for further and further. What about you? What do you understand by the family learning outdoors?
Well, you said apart from literacy and numeracy. Did you say that? Well, you see, for me, bringing literacy and numeracy to the outdoors is kind of a new thing in itself. Like, I wouldn't automatically. I mean, do you mean taking a book outside and sitting in the, you know, sitting in the garden and having a read, or do you mean using the outdoors to help your child?
Well, I think, you know, as a teacher, I do mean probably taking a book and sitting in a tent, or, you know, counting the cars as they go by as you're watching from inside your garden or whatever, you know, the school playground. That, for me as a teacher, is that's my thinking about outdoor learning. But I think it's a much bigger topic than that, having chatted with the guests that are on tonight. So, I mean, you were telling me your story, weren't you, about the starfish on the beach this half term with your daughter?
That's it, exactly. Yeah, going on the beach and they found a couple of starfish that were not in water.
Yeah.
So, you know, we took them and put them into the water, so we saved them.
Yeah. So that's really kind of true, isn't it? Kinesthetic learning. They were learning about animal life, about what the tide coming in and out, maybe. Did you talk about that quite naturally?
Yeah, I suppose we did. But completely oblivious to the fact that
you were learning.
We were learning.
Yeah.
We were just having a bit of fun on the beach, you know. That was. You see, it is a new concept to me, and it's certainly a new concept to me in regards to how parents can have a big role in this. I mean, I know there are forest schools, and I know there are lots of outdoor learning initiatives, but apart from just enjoying nature with your kids,
like
going to Hartwood Forest and having a walk around and noticing what things were blooming, or when fruit is beginning to kind of come out on the trees and what fruit it are. I mean, that kind of stuff completely I understand, but I would never think of that as an opportunity to bring in literacy or numeracy.
No.
Not naturally, not organically.
Well, I think, you know, hopefully our guests are going to shed some light on that tonight, the kind of things that families can do together. And maybe it isn't anything about doing literacy and numeracy. I don't know. You know, that's my teacher hat on.
Yeah.
But I know the guest that's on later on, Claire, is very much linking into the show we did a few weeks ago on schemas. Hopefully some of you listeners were, you know, tuned in for that. And taking children's natural play urges and using the outdoor environment without toys, I think without sort of equipment and stuff, and letting children, mums and children, learn through that. So that's going to be interesting, hopefully, to hear about. So I think really we just thought, you know, summer's coming because we're a bit wimpy and we thought we don't want to go out in the rain, but I know Caroline's going to talk to us about that, hopefully. You know, summer's coming, let's talk to the listeners about how they can get outside with their children and make it quite purposeful. So, let me tell you about Caroline. Caroline Langley is a director of Down the Woods, which is a local company. And Caroline has lots of different hats, and I'm sure she might talk about that briefly for us. But the thing that I really want Caroline to share with us as parents tonight is the kind of things she does at weekends for the whole family. So, Lydia, have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't actually. So, I'm dying to learn. Caroline, can you tell us a little bit about what does it involve?
Well, my job is as a forest school leader is to take the children out. As to take children out into the natural environment, but we've extended that and decided to take families out as well. So Saturday Club is our big thing about that. So I'm trying to inspire people to get them outside and get parents and children out together and learning together in the outdoor environment.
And what do you do with them when they're in the outdoor environment?
Well, we do things like bug hunts, bird watching, we do lots and lots of different activities, and sometimes activities are a little bit difficult for children to do by themselves, so that their parents naturally step in to help them out. So things like sawing and hammering.
Things like
sawing and hammering.
With real saws and
with
real hammers.
With real saws and real hammers, yeah.
Right, and what kind of age group are we talking about here?
A Saturday Club, it's fine because the parents are there from anything from three up, but older children when it's just us at Forest School.
That sounds amazing. So give us an average Saturday Club, run of events.
Okay, so Saturday Club, there are two sessions, so there's one from 10 till 12 and one from 1 till 3. So parents arrive, they go into the barn, we wait for everyone else to arrive, and in the barn lots and lots of different activities to get us started. Then we walk off down to the woods, and there's some activities in the woods for parents to take part in with their children, so some sawing, things like that. And then we always do a bit of cooking on the fire, and the children and the parents really enjoy that.
So you're actually lighting fires, are you? The families and you light fires together?
Yeah, we light fires. We go through the safety rules. So obviously quite strong safety rules for fire. But young children are actually quite good at safety rules because they understand about fires. They've been told fires are dangerous, and parents listen to the safety rules. And, we're safely dangerous.
So were you always into this kind of thing, Caroline? Or is it just a money-making business?
It's not a money-making business at all.
No.
I've always been into the outdoors. My dad is a great outdoor lover. He's a gardener by trade, so he'd always take us outside as children. So really important to me to get children outside.
Now, what you said that you could take from three-year-olds upwards. So who kind of attends your classes? Do you have one family? Is it a whole group that know each other? I mean, if say our listeners are thinking we'd quite like to get involved in something like that, who are they going to be meeting when they come to your barn?
There are lots of people that come together, so there's lots of families that know each other. There are regular families that come every week and they get to know each other. And there are new people that come every week, and everybody's really friendly and they all get on, so it's a really nice session to be part of.
Because it just sounds so unusual in a way to me. I get that your dad used to do that with you, but my dad never did that with me. I think the most we did was walk around the lake at Verulamium. So what would you say, do you have to be a certain type of family? Do you have to be an outdoorsy type of family to want to come and do what you're offering?
No, I don't think so, because actually what it does is it inspires you and it gives you some suggestions, some ideas to be brave and take your children outside. And actually it's very simple and it's free to go outside.
Yeah. Is it free to come to the class?
Unfortunately, I have to make a little bit of money, so
of
it's
course.
Not expensive at all.
No, okay.
And tell us, Caroline, do you come across people who, probably people a little bit like me, who don't really have much experience of bug watching or bird watching, who come along, or do you kind of need a base knowledge to come?
No, you don't need to have any knowledge at all, and just enthusiasm is what you need. And when people come out, they have a chat with me, I get them all enthusiastic and we get going with it, and then they've got questions, I'm there to support and to guide, and then people feel a bit more confident because there's someone there who knows all the stuff, supposedly.
Well, and that's the thing I like about what you're saying. It feels like it's a kind of it's kind of a short-term adventure in a way. You'd come for, you wouldn't go for years, you kind of go to
get a basis, get some learning on how to do it, and then to empower you and make you feel confident enough to do this with your children yourself. Is that
okay? For sure. I mean, we have had people that have come for years, which is fabulous, and then we can build up on that, and they come with ideas and suggestions as well. But you can come for a one-off and get some thoughts and get inspired and get out.
Now, from what I'm hearing, Caroline, some of these skills then, the learning, because we're trying to think about learning for the family, learning together. You've mentioned safety. Mm-hmm. So that's, I hadn't thought of that. That's great, isn't it? Children learning safety by mum and dad modelling it and then trying it themselves. And then also about, the rules of being outside, I guess. Are there rules about, do you teach them about respecting birds and that kind of thing? Like, for example, I always seen signs that say dogs must not run in long grass when it's springtime because they may scare animals. Is that the kind of thing that you're involved in?
We try to encourage everyone to get a love of nature. I mean, if children don't love nature and they don't love woods, in the future we won't have woods because they'll concrete over it, because that's how they'll feel safe. So we try and encourage children to get outside, get keen and interested in bugs and birds, and want to be part of protecting them and looking after them.
Now, how does the weather affect your company and what you do and what you offer, or does it not?
We have a saying in Forest School, it's not the wrong weather, it's the wrong clothes. So if you're kitted up, waterproof trousers, waterproof coats, you're fine. We also put up teepees and tarpaulings. It just adds to the adventure, really.
Yeah. It's a brilliant, you sort of thought of it all, haven't you? Well, not whether we're trying to trick you out or anything, trick you, but you've got answers for things, so that's super. Lydia, if you're thinking of something.
Yeah, well, I did a birthday party for my son when he was three that was an outdoor party in a teepee. It was literally a party in the middle of the field. And the minute the party started, the heavens opened. We'd been mourned sufficiently, I have to say, to wear all outdoor clothing, wellies and everything. And I was thinking to myself when it started, this is the most insane idea ever. What was I thinking? But it didn't matter. The rain didn't matter. The mud didn't matter. They started making mud pies and making sandwiches. They had slices of wood around the place, and they were making burgers by putting the mud in the middle of the two slices of wood. And there was a teepee. They weren't even, I thought they'd be all dying to stay in under the shelter of the teepee. Not at all. They were squelching around in the mud. And at the end of it, they were glowing and rosy-cheeked and so happy, as opposed to, the average party that's usually in a hall with no fresh air and, the staleness of it. So I was so delighted I did it at the end, but it's a new concept, isn't it, for a lot of us?
Yeah, it is new for some people. I mean, it's not anything rocket science. It's kind of what we were doing as children. A lot of us lucky people were outside as children, urban people out in the street playing till it got dark, us in the woods playing out till the dog came to find us to tell us to come home. So that's what we were doing as children, and our children are missing out on it. We've got children that are 8 years old, they don't know what worms are, and then why would they live in a high-rise block in Enfield, they don't have gardens and they don't know what worms are. We're getting very removed from nature, and we need to get back into nature.
That's such a good point. So can you've kindly give us some examples, like sawing, using nails, making fires, any other kind of particular activities you can inspire us with?
Digging in the mud, that's a good one.
Yeah.
And making potions. Remember when we used to make rose leaf potions as children, the perfume?
Yeah.
So that sort of thing. Or bug hunting, they always love a bit of bug hunting, don't they? And building dens, big ones, small ones. We were building animal dens yesterday for little soft toys, and that's a really nice activity to do. Going on treasure trails, all sorts of different things you can do outside.
Is that why I keep seeing these weird sort of stick things around Hartwood Park when I'm walking around there? It's like shapes, and people have put there, it looks like a trail.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's people are playing out in the woods, and so they should.
Yeah. So I know I asked you if you'd kindly think of an example from your work over the last few years where you've seen your outdoor learning programs make a big difference to a particular family. Was there anything you could share with us?
Yeah, I used to work in a nursery school, and that's where I first started doing Forest School. And we had a parent who'd been there for about a year, and she found interactions with staff difficult. I think she'd had some difficulties at school herself. And her child came to Forest School, and she took home a feedback sheet about making boats, which we'd been doing in the woods that day. And the next day she came in, this parent, she was so proud. She'd made a raft and she'd got her daughter and she showed us all the photos. And it was the first interaction that we probably had a proper chat. I nearly cried.
So, I mean, it gives people confidence because, you know, I was going to say that, can you really get it wrong? Because it's a bit of creativity, isn't it? As well as physical skills. So, I suppose for a parent who's not that confident with something like that initially, it's something they feel they can just have a go at, would you say?
Yeah, it was an impetus for a conversation. Of course, yeah, sticks of course. Will always float, won't they? So yeah. It wasn't hard to make a boat. Yeah. And she felt compelled to go and do that with her child, which was great.
Oh, that's fab. Now, you've got a website, haven't you? Can you just put the name out there for people that are listening?
Downthewoods.org.
Okay, and you're based in Sandridge, aren't you, opposite Hartwood?
Yeah.
So fairly accessible from St Albans, Harpenden,
yeah, it's not
surrounding
far
villages.
Away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I actually got the pleasure of going out to see the setting, and it really is beautiful. So, I mean, just to go out there is actually quite a nice thing to do, and especially those of us that live in you know, the centre of the town. So, Lydia, anything else you want to ask Caroline before we move on?
So there's one Saturday a month that you can do, and is there any other way that children could be involved? You're talking about the forest school. Can you marriage forest school with conventional schooling?
Yeah, we do. I mean, that's my actual real job, is taking children out from school. So this morning I was in a school in Barnet, so the children come out for 2 hours, they walk down to the woods, they spend 2 hours with me, and they'll do that for the next 6 weeks, and we're always looking for more schools. So yeah, get the schools interested and we get our children outside more.
Fantastic. That sounds great. Fantastic. Thanks a million, Caroline. It's been very enlightening talking to you. And it feels like it's possible. It doesn't feel like it's a massive task to kind of get out there. Our school at the moment is sending, posting Facebook messages every Friday and telling us to turn off the television and go and do something else instead. So they're giving us suggestions. So it sounds like... we'll have a few inspirational ideas from what you're telling us.
If everybody who's listening gets their children out, takes them on an adventure walk and have some ideas up your sleeve, like hide and seek or some games to play, and get the children outside, and it's only opening the door, isn't it?
Absolutely. Okay, so we'll come back after just a short break to speak to our next guest, who is Claire Carroll from Nature Play, and we'll be hearing more about what we can do with our kids in the outdoors. Welcome back to the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
So tonight we're talking all about outdoor learning for the family, children and family. And you've probably heard that Lydia and I are kind of not struggling with it exactly, but we're trying to get our heads around what does it really mean? You know, so it's more than walking your dog with your family, although that's definitely part of it. So we were just hearing from Caroline, who runs the company based in Sandridge, Down the Woods, and that's certainly something that sounds interesting. And as Caroline was saying, do get on her website if you'd like to look into that. I don't think it's particularly expensive. Anyway, hopefully on the phone now we're going to have another lady joining us called Claire. Claire Carrow, and Claire's based in London, Dulwich area, I think. So, Claire, hi, are you there?
Hi, yes, I'm here.
Oh, thank you so much. Now, we're in a new studio tonight, Claire, with new equipment, so we're struggling a little bit. You might have to speak a bit louder, if that's okay.
Okay, yep.
Oh, that's brilliant, thank you. Thanks so much. I don't know if you were hearing. Were you able to listen in or not?
No, I have been putting my children...
Oh, okay, that's why we're calling you a bit later anyway. So, anyway, Claire, thanks so much for joining us. I think we were talking to you and saying that, you know, we're trying to explore outdoor learning, and I know the company that you set up doesn't necessarily say we're going to do it outside, but you just happen to do it, don't you, with the nature. Can you just set it in context for us a little bit, please?
Yeah, sure. It's called Nature Play. And it came about because I was slightly worried that I was going to be bringing up my child in the city and that she wouldn't have any connection with the earth and the outdoors and the seasons. So I thought the only really possible way for her to have that was to get outside on a regular basis, and I thought it would be much more fun if there were other people wanting to do the same thing. So I sort of set up Nature Play, put together the ethos behind it, and off we went. And so we've been doing that for just over 3 years in our group, every week. And there are now 8 groups, some in different places around London, some in different countries. We have one in Greece and one in Moscow, but they're all sort of following the same structure.
Yeah.
And it's really about making the time for us to be outside with our children so that that they're actually experiencing it. And because you can't know what a season is or how they work or discover things about the earth and how, you know, the seasons and the woods and the creatures and nesting season and all sorts of those things without actually being in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could read it, but that's only one way of taking in information. If you're out in it and really experiencing it with your ears and your eyes, yeah, and your skin and the temperature and the rain and the sunshine and all of that, then you're really building up a body of knowledge.
Yeah, I'd so agree with you as a teacher. That's such a good way to express it. So what age group do your groups take children from, or do they start with? Is it babies?
Yes, absolutely. We have kind of a bit of a strap line for Nature Play. Is it's first of all child-led play, so there's no adult direction, and there's it's basically uninterrupted play, and it's for all ages, so that's babies. And then we have some people bring their homeschooled children along as well, so there's quite a different age range, and especially in the holidays we have a lot of the older children, and we're every week, all weather, all seasons, and it's also free.
Well, that's pretty amazing, Claire. I mean, and when you say all weather, all seasons, is it like, are we talking snow? We're talking minus 10, doesn't matter.
Yep, that's right. And even the group in Moscow, they started in minus 4 weather, but they still go out in the minuses. They've been very helpful at giving us tips here in London on how to keep your toes warm, etc.
Fantastic.
That's quite handy.
Can I
share knowledge?
Can I ask you something, Claire? You mentioned earlier that it's child-led. I mean, I know this is very important. I hear it said all the time. But what does that do for our children, that kind of adult-led or parent-led learning doesn't?
I guess biologically, in every child that is born, there is waiting to unfold play. And through play, we learn. Through movement, we learn. Through the developmental schemas, we learn. Through the children interacting with each other, they learn. Not only that, but we take no toys into Nature Play. So they have to use what is around them to play with. So they're exploring with sticks, with acorns, with leaves, with climbing logs, with slopes. And there's something for every age group, you know, from the baby to the 8-year-old, where they'll always find a different way of using a stick. And also that way they get to use their imaginations. So the earth, and it basically has everything that is needed, and within every child there are play patterns waiting to emerge. So the two go hand in hand very nicely, and all you have to really do is give the children the space and the time and the place to be able to, for all of this to come out. And of course we're there with them, on hardly ever, but on the odd occasion there might be some sort of point of conflict, but nobody's fighting over a toy, and nobody really is fighting over a stick. And if there is a conflict over a stick, it's usually because they need to be learning about how to negotiate with each other. So it works. It just is a really good winning combination.
Claire, you, at the beginning, when children are first introduced to this way of learning, are they a bit flummoxed at the start? You know, are they not used to the props of toys and games and, you know, screens? Or do they actually just flow into it quite easily?
Well, most parents that are bringing their children, and sometimes it's the nannies or sometimes it's grandparents, you know, we get quite a range of people, but mainly mums, they're already kind of on that path anyway, or wanting to be there. It's our group, the one that's been running from the start, it's not exactly the easiest sort of place to get to. Like, you really can't take your pushchair, so you need to either be walking or have some sort of sling or something like that. So these people are coming along, and I think they're kind of quite outdoor savvy already, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've had a few people wanting to give it a go, and some people come a couple of times, and some people come for a long time. It depends on whether it suits them as well.
So, Claire, do the families go to the same place every time that you have nature play sessions, or do you just say, right, we'll all go to this park today, or...?
No, it's a set place, and there's a meeting point, and then we have a slow walk to a base. And the slow walk is meant to be slow. It's so that we can all sort of slow down to the pace of the child that's walking and discovering things along the way, and so that we stop being in a hurry, because one of the things about supporting child-led play is that we can't be in a hurry, is that we have to slow down, and that it's actually about sitting back and watching and waiting and being there, just being there, not actually directing and intervening. And and so for us as adults, you can't sort of be in a rush and then quickly switch to that laid back, allowing the child the space thing. You actually do need sort of some time to unwind yourself. So that's why we have a walk. And we either go to, most of the groups will go to one place, but we work quite closely with the people that look after our woodland that we go to. And they have us go to a winter base and a summer base, and
okay.
that way, while we're at the winter base, the summer base can regenerate, or the herb layer can regrow again, and you know, the animals can get used to having it back to themselves,
yeah.
and vice versa. So
it sounds so idyllic when you talk about it. Absolutely,
yeah. Absolutely. And I feel the great thing, it makes so much sense what you're saying, Claire, and what Caroline said before you, and it's so simple. It's just so simple, and you kind of, you've demystified it. I mean, I always think with these kind of things, you've got to be a real earthy kind of type who's, you know, always wearing wellies and going out for a walk at every opportunity. But what you're saying sounds like very simple activities that absolutely anybody can do.
Yeah, it is. It is. Anyone can do that. And also on our website, we have some information about how to support child-led play, because it's all very well to sort of read about it and agree about it and hear about the experts saying how important it is. But when it comes to putting it into practice, especially in our culture where we're so used to you know, wanting our children to be safe and not wanting them to fall, but yet wanting them to take risks,
yeah.
and all of this kind of thing, it can be quite a stress on ourselves internally as parents. I mean, we have enough stresses on ourselves anyway. So on our website, we have some interesting written material and some guidelines as well, just explaining how to support child-led play. So that does help as well.
And
Claire, can I ask you another thing? Shirley and I were talking about what we understood by outdoor learning before we even spoke to yourself and our other guest. Mm-hmm. And we were saying we understood that it means kind of bringing literacy and numeracy into the outdoors. Is there that kind of structural literacy and numeracy in what you're doing, or is it just whatever happens as you're going along?
No, there's no none of that at all, really. Mainly because, well, unless they start counting acorns or writing in the dirt or something like that. But it's about actually learning. It's about eco-literacy. It's about learning what's going on with the earth, which, you know, is pretty important since we all live on it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think that there's a great saying, I think it's a quote by Charles Jordan, that says, what they will not value, they will not protect, and what they will not protect, they will lose. So these two, I think that the younger generation really need to have some connection with the earth. And yes, numeracy and literacy will come, you know, later on, but and there will be a time and a place for that. But this is about a time and a place for connecting with the earth, for using those sticks and collecting those acorns and wondering what that tree is called, and eating blackberries in August and in the rain, and, you know, all of those things where you're actually making some sort of connection with the outdoor world. And that's eco-literacy. So it's a whole different kind of learning, and it's just as important, maybe even more important, than numbers and reading and writing. Mm. You know, that there's a time and a space for that, and it's usually indoors.
Yeah.
And that's well catered for.
So what's actually
not well catered for is the connection with the earth.
Our guest before you, Claire, was saying a similar thing, that she feels, you know, that young people need to get out into the country because, you know, otherwise it's not going to be a countryside and, mm-hmm. and a natural environment for them. And you're kind of saying that with your eco-literacy, I think, aren't you? You know, keeping them sort of in touch with the earth and, you know, that they live on.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Because nobody's going to be, voting to protect trees or rivers or the sea or fish or animals if they haven't got some sort of connection with all of those things. So, you know, if they don't have any connection, why would they bother protecting those things? And then, you know, and then they're gone. Already there's many things on this earth that are in quite a pickle because of our cultural attitude towards nature. So I think that this is quite a sort of planting the seeds of perhaps, I mean, this is all theoretical, obviously, but I think that for me myself, I want to keep the love of nature going in my children, so I take them outdoors to connect with it. I don't see that there's any other way that I could pass that love of nature onto my child apart from being in it regularly.
Yeah. What do your first-time parents say to you when they've joined one of your nature play sessions afterwards?
Lot of people comment on how lovely it is, because it's a very nice and relaxed atmosphere, and we have, I mean, it's just lovely, and the birds are singing, and quite often the sun is out, and, you know, it's a very nice relaxed paced thing. We're creating a nice chilled out environment as well, and that's another really important thing for children to learn. They have to have a safe environment, because the brain actually will send out adrenaline, which will stop learning if they're not feeling safe. So you need to have that lovely safe feeling, and parents pick up on that as well.
Yeah.
One of the things that I noticed after I'd had a little holiday once and had somebody else looking after the group for me for a few weeks was that it was me that was missing my dose of nature. And of course I'd been doing this for my daughter, and I hadn't realised that I was also benefiting from it.
Mm.
You know, getting out and spending a whole day in the woods once a week is extremely beneficial for everybody. And I think a lot of people appreciate that as well. Lots of the parents seem to comment on how good it feels for them too.
You certainly are making a lot of sense to me, having taught indoors for nearly 30 years. How about you, Lydia?
Absolutely. And it's so, I have such a narrow view of outdoor learning before I spoke to you and Caroline. It's just it's just important, isn't it? It's our duty to teach our children this.
Yeah, and also I think that, you know, it's very easy to think that we can't go and teach our children about the outdoors because we don't know enough. But, you know, obviously you can hear a bit of an accent. I'm from New Zealand, and the outdoors in New Zealand is very different from the outdoors here. So I've had to learn, and that's been a really nice way of learning with my daughters, that we'll take photographs of trees or plants that we find that we talk about and we wonder about, and we'll come home and we'll look them up in our reference books and talk about them, and then we know the names of them, and we've learned a little bit about what happens, or you know, we have bird books and plant books and other animal books, and it's a nice way of both of us learning. I don't feel bad that I am not there with the knowledge already, saying, oh, that's called this or that, and it's nice for us to learn together. But it's also that she's going to be learning whether I know the name of it or not. Knowing the name of something isn't really that important. She's having the experience of all of these, meeting all of these things in our woodlands, and that's a teaching moment that's happening by itself, whether whether I'm there or not.
I think it's definitely working for you, Claire, because even your voice as you talk is very calm and serene.
And then, I have spent all day in the woods today.
There you go. And you've got an awful lot more fresh air than I have. Claire, thanks so much for joining us this evening. Yeah. We'll put your website up on our Facebook page. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Claire. All the best.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, thank you so much for listening on The Parents Show this evening. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope you got a lot out of it. As you know, all our shows are podcasted and they're available on iTunes, so you have every opportunity to listen again if you want to. You know, we continue the conversation on Facebook and Twitter even after the show is finished, so if there's anything you want to tell us, any shows you want us covering, you know, to cover, reach out, tell us. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you very much for listening, and all the best.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.